XV Planus is part of the Green Mushroom Podcast Network.
Welcome to XV Planus.
Thank you, Hal.
Awesome. I love that. Every time. I just really want to switch that to a male voice so I can hear.
Recording in progress, Dave.
I bet you could set it up to do that. I'm sure there's a way to do it.
There's got to be a way. Greetings, friends and fiends, and welcome back to XV Planets, the podcast where we don't just talk about the paranormal, we put boots on the ground and pursue it in the field. However, tonight, we are here with a very special guest for a bonus episode. For the second time this season, I get to welcome back my friend, Aaron Deese. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, my friend. It's great to be back. I feel like I've just conned my way in through the back door, so thank you.
No, you already have an open invite. I've already told you that. You just got to say when, but you, my friend, have been a very busy individual, and that's actually why we're here to talk to you tonight, because the last time you popped on the episode, which was about a month ago, you and Courtney were talking about all the things that were going on with Small Town Monsters and like the Kickstarter and with everything going on around that. But there was something else looming in the background that now we have the opportunity to like really get excited and talk about, and that is your new book, my friend.
Yeah.
And that is Hunting Grounds, Dogmen of the Lakes, right?
Yeah. Yes, it's done. Thank, you know, whatever powers there are, it's finished.
Now, before we get too far into it, pre-orders for this are starting right, well, tomorrow, actually. Mm-hmm. As we're recording this, pre-orders kick off tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Yeah? Yes, they do. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, this episode is going to be aired in about 5 days, which means some of you have had the jump on it, or maybe I'll fast track the process. I'll try to get you out there as quick as I can, man.
Oh, you don't have to, man.
Well, you know how it's like one-man production show. It all lies on me, so it's a lot to get through. And as soon as I get done with you, I got to finish up the next Uinta Basin episode tonight. But,
oh, dang.
That's been 6 months in the running. If anybody is to blame for that delay, that's on me.
Well, you know, good things come to those who wait for the Uinta Basin. So
I cannot think of a better plug for this series. So there you go. And in the meantime, Aaron here is going to grace your radios in between episodes 3 and 4 of Uinta Basin. And I'm so freaking stoked to have you back. Not only because, like, you and I have been friends for a while and we've been talking about all of this weird stuff. Like, you and I essentially kicked off our podcast experiments, if you want to call them, roughly around the same time, maybe give or take 6 months. Yeah. And we've gone in different directions, and you have really made a name for yourself over the last couple of years, really putting a lot of work and effort into Small Town Monsters. But that's not actually what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about your work as an author. This definitely slings back into Small Town Monsters territory, but the books are actually a little bit more important. So before we go barreling into the new one, which, again, is available for pre-order starting April 9th.
It is.
And you can find the link in the show notes right now.
You can.
Let's go back and actually talk about your journey with this, not only as an author, but why this particular subject really hooked you, because it really seems to have kind of become all-encompassing for you for the last few years. Am I right?
It kind of has, you know, and it was sort of a default thing. The one thing I do want to say before we go into that, though, is that the key difference, you know, we did start our podcasts around the same time, but you actually continued to make yours. So that's a big difference there. I think you should be applauded for that. But anyway,
we all take breaks. You and I are of the generation where, like, it's okay to take breaks. We'll do seasons.
Right? Totally fine. There. Exact seasons. That's how we do it. But I'm sorry.
It's the only way we kept our sanity, man.
Dude, I swear. Yeah, just at any time you can be like, and that was the season finale.
But, although I would say that, however, behind the scenes, and here we go, like, you were just hitting the ground running. So To give my listeners a little bit of background here, because you and I have talked about this at random on the show, but we haven't really gone into it. So Aaron started a podcast a few years ago called Hey Strangeness. And right behind you. And right around the same time, I started this podcast called XV Planets. And I'm not really... Aaron, can you even remember what actually put the two of us into orbit together at this point?
No. There was a period where I was really active on paranormal Instagram, if you want to call it that. Just trying to follow and connect with as many people as I could that were posting paranormal content that I found interesting. I don't remember if that was the first place we ran into each other. That would be my assumption, just because that's where I spent so much of my time. But I slummed around in the Clubhouse rooms for a little bit when Clubhouse was getting going. And, you know, I don't know if we ever talked on there. That was a fun little period.
Oh, shit. No. I never hit Clubhouse.
No, so
Clubhouse. No, yeah, no, absolutely okay. Toxic. I remember what it was. I'd been listening to you for a while. I had sent you a couple of messages and just like, hey, really love the show. Love what you're doing. It's great. Just, you know, short, quick messages that we try to do to each other to raise support.
Oh. But
then I hit the gnomes episode.
Gnomes.
And it was just done from that.
Actually, since we're talking about it, this piece of art I have to my right is I guess you'd call it fan art done by Cassie Marzisan of Cassie's Land, depicting the battle
Cassie's Land, which we both love, adore. Yes. You can actually check out that link in the show notes as well.
Yes, check out Cassie's work. But I had just met her around that time as well, and she did this amazing interpretation of the gnomes versus the cranes, a mythical battle from Greek mythology. Look it up, which we covered in that episode. And she's like, look at this. I did this. And then she was, we've met each other in person once or twice now. Once seems like more, you know, you talk to these people so much and you're like, oh yeah, we're buds. And you only meet them in person once at events and stuff. But she gave me this beautiful framed, can't really see it because of this weird lighting that I've got in here, but had to plug that since the gnomes came up.
Well, get a snapshot, send it to me, and I'll throw it on the show notes.
For sure. Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. Yeah, because we got to promote Cassie. Cassie, we love you. Absolutely. We'll see you at Monster Fest, too.
Monster Fest. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, very, very sorry. I never answered your first question.
No, actually, I did. That was the story of how we first met. Like, I hit you up a couple times just because I really loved your candor and your sense of humor on the subject. But it was really interesting for me because there's an obvious, like when you started off with Hey Strangeness, there was an obvious shift between when you were just having fun and when you kicked into business mode. It really was. Because you get those opening captions, gnomes. And I will absolutely put some tingles in there. Is it just so everybody can like really get the feel?
That was key. I spent a lot of time trying to find just the right arrangement of chimes. So
it was perfect. And you did it twice in that episode. Actually, do I have your permission to sample that and plug that in right here?
Oh, totally. That would make me so happy.
Gnomes.
One more time. That's
Gnomes,
which is also available as a downloadable sample if you want to use it as a ringtone. Links in the show notes. And now you get it. Gnomes. Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun with that. Yeah. That was the cool thing about it was when Hey Strangeness started, the pandemic was kind of just kicking off and I was listening to a lot of paranormal podcasts and watching Small Town Monsters documentaries. And my wife and I were just talking about stuff at home because what else are you going to do, you know? And she was like, why don't you just start a podcast about this stuff? Cause you're so passionate about it. And I was like, I'd like to, but I need a co-host. Like, I don't want to just talk to myself all day. Like there's people that can do that well, but I'm not to that point. I don't even own a microphone at this point, you know? So she's like, fine, I'll do it with you, but you have to produce it and do the research. I don't want to do any of that. I'll sit down and talk to you. And I was like, great. So we did a run of, I think about 15 episodes. And then we found out we were going to have a baby. and we stopped really doing anything. But around the time we found out we were having a baby, Small Town Monsters approached me about doing a book with them. So, you know, all of my creative energy kind of kicked over to that side of things. And the podcast sort of has just been hanging out. We've done a couple episodes since then, but it's there. It's there.
No, and it's obviously like the Hey Strangeness thing. That's kind of like a passion project for you. That's something you really dig into. But now you have the opportunity to really dig into this on almost like a more professional level, right?
Yeah, and like, this is actually my job now. Like,
freaking crazy is that?
It's pretty cool. You know, they say don't turn your hobbies into your job. And I do think
I call bullshit.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. But I'm loving the fact that I get to, you know, spend my working hours, whatever they are, because I work from home with the little guy, doing something that I'm passionate about and doing it with a group of people who are just really cool, genuinely good people.
And as a fellow investigator and somebody who looks into this, you're not just talking about like a ragtag group of misfits. You're talking about a group of people who genuinely care about doing honest, real research into this. And I mean, sure, obviously we want to make it entertaining. We want to captivate the audience, but that's what I've always found so impressive about they take it seriously and they treat it with respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was what drew me to STM in the first place, just as a fan, you know, was watching these documentaries and going, expecting, you know, the quick cuts to come up or the dramatized soundtrack or the narrator to come in and go, but what if there was an evil boogbaga thing in the Guga pit, you know, like just expecting that to happen because that's where these documentaries always go. And that never happens.
What it's happens a demon.
Yeah, the conclusion that everything is a demon, like that never happens in these films I'm watching. And they're all directed by this guy named Seth Breedlove. And I'm like, man, this guy is cool. Like this team of people he has working with him are really cool. Yeah, and then I just followed everybody on Instagram and kind of pestered them and showed up at a couple events. And then, you know, I think once they realized I wasn't a serial killer, they were like, okay, yeah, we can work with this guy. And at least that's my understanding of how things went.
So you're not a serial killer?
Not as far as I know. I mean, you know, I don't sleep much these days. So, you know, who knows? Lost time and whatnot.
This show could take a very interesting turn. I don't know.
No, I'm not. I'm quite certain that I'm not. I don't have the time to be, actually.
Well, if you were a serial killer, one might suspect that you might be one that is under the influence of the moon. So let's use that as a really solid segue into why we're really here to talk tonight. All right.
Brilliant.
So let's talk about your first book. Okay, and this is this was also published through Small Town Monsters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I have wanted to be a writer since I knew that was a thing people could do for a job. My mom is a published author. A distant relative is Homer Croy, who is a very prolific writer in the early 19th century. I've always kind of just had that in my orbit. My mom had books everywhere when we were kids, so I've always wanted to write something. Yeah. And then getting more passionate about this topic in the last couple of years, it kind of just seemed like I was already thinking like, man, I'd really like to write a book about this stuff one of these days. So, you know, the opportunity with STM kind of just came at a perfect time in my life, I think, as far as like wanting to do that. Where was I going with that? I don't know. I guess that's it. I'm sorry.
Magic of editing. Like if there's something to follow up, don't let my theatrical movements stop you. Like,
you're good. You and I are professionals. We know how this goes. Professionals.
Are we? Are we?
Professionals.
Honestly, if we look at some of the other professionals in our field, yeah, actually, kind of.
Yeah. That's another thing that's fun about the paranormal niche is that there's no degree that anybody can give you. So, you know, you can make up a bunch of stuff. No, I'm joking.
No. But okay. All right, jokes aside, though, wouldn't it be amazing if we could actually get parapsychology back into academic studies?
Yeah, in America? 100%. 100%. Because there is, like, there's a lot of science that is being done in this field. And I'm talking across the spectrum from ghosts to aliens to, you know, psychic research and dogman research, cryptozoology. There's a lot of science that goes on there. And if you think about what we could do with more controls and more funding, oh.
See, I would almost argue that the real focus on it needs to be on the overall balloon concept of consciousness studies. I think that's the way all of this needs to go. But you know what? That's a conversation for another time. We're going to save that for later. We're here to talk about dogmen. I know every fucking time you and I get together, it's just like, now hold up. Let's grab a pint. Let's talk about this.
I was stepping outside Monster Fest for a cigarette break, and 30 minutes later, we're like, oh, God, there's an event happening.
By the way, guys, if you want to see the greatest off-the-cuff demonstrations on what the paranormal hoopla really is, just hang out outside Monster Fest around 1 or 2 in the morning, and you'll find me and Aaron, like, standing on the corner, chain smoking, pacing back and forth, going like, oh, let me tell you about Dogman. No.
Probably. Yeah.
But I don't know. Dogman is actually why we're here to talk to you, because this has been the spearhead of your first book with Small Town Monsters. And now, and as we're recording this, in like less than 12 hours, your new book actually goes on to pre-order. This episode will air about 4 or 5 days after that, which will still give all of you listening a chance to jump into the pre-order. Mm-hmm. So I would like to take this opportunity to talk to you about your journey as a researcher in this particular area. So, like, it's become such a very specific thing. Oh, like over the last 10 years. And something it's all of us that are looking towards. And I find it amusing that no matter what your angle of the paranormal community is, whenever Dogman comes up, everybody raises an eyebrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody just goes, well, there might be something to that. Or I've got a story. But I want to know what hooked you into this, man. When I first met you, you were just as obsessed with the broad scope of all of this stuff that I am still now to this day. What was it that actually hooked you into this particular angle? Like, what was it about the Dogman that like really pulled you in? I'm really curious about that. And we've never really had the chance to really dig into this, but man, you really grabbed it with the reins and ran with it. And I want to hear about this.
Yeah, for sure. It goes back to that same era. It goes back to Hey Strangeness and Sarah and I just looking at what would be a fun topic for an episode. I think our third or fourth episode was called The Texas Dogman Triangle. And I had just seen The Bray Road Beast from Small Town Monsters. And up until seeing that film and then reading The Beast of Bray Road by Linda Godfrey, I devoured that book, I think in 2 days, I guess intended.
Yeah, guilty as charged here too.
Seminal classic.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I was forced to admit something at that point. I was like, regardless of whether or not I think this Dogman phenomena is real, there are quite a few normal, everyday people who have seen something that looks like this, and they are convinced that it is. If we're going to talk about the paranormal at any capacity, any niche, any field of study, that matters. When people say, I have seen this, that matters. And yeah, we can't just take every story at face value, but when we're talking about unconnected witnesses in an obscure location, seeing something that is, by all accounts, fairly unique, I thought at the time fairly unique, who have no reason to lie, who are not attempting to cash in on this story, who are risking their reputations by coming forward, that means something. And that was the case with the Beast of Bray Road. About 2 weeks later, I'm visiting San Antonio because we lived in Austin at the time, and I'm chatting with a relative, and I'm like, man, have you heard about this? You know, this crazy real werewolf stuff. And I'm expecting him to laugh at me. And instead, he gets real serious and he goes, well, actually, I saw something once. And he relays this story to me of this roadside sighting he had of what appeared to be an upright canine on its haunches holding a piece of roadkill. feeding on it essentially. And it went from being a joking conversation to 100% serious. No, I actually saw this thing, and I've never told anybody about it because, one, I didn't know what I saw. Two, I didn't think anybody would believe me or care. And three, I just figured, you know, whatever. So that started me digging around online. I ended up on the North American Dogman Research Project, run by Jody Cook and his team. Great resource.
Is this something worth noting and adding into the show notes? Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Done.
NADP, North American Dogman Project, NADP website. Yeah. I was able to interview Jody for the first book, actually. Really cool dude.
Can I just point out how intense it is that there's actually a whole network focused on this?
Yeah. And that springs from the Bray Road Beast. Well, sorry. That's a separate tangent. I'm sure we'll get there. But
yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please.
No, continue. Dude, it's so easy with this. Ugh. But I find two more encounters.
It's going to happen a lot. You can always tell me to shut the fuck up.
No, this is for sure. I'm just hanging out. I'm having a conversation with an adult. That's great. Doesn't happen to me very often these days. but I find two more encounters on the North American Dogman Research Project that correlate very, very close geographically to this encounter relayed to me by someone who has no interest in the paranormal in general, does not really watch Bigfoot documentaries, doesn't read books about this stuff, didn't know Dogman was a thing. And it makes a little triangle on the map, which happens to hit, you know, the part of Texas that I live in. And I'm like, well, let's call it the Dogman Triangle. That's a fun little episode that we can do. So we put the episode out there. It did really well. I got great feedback on it. You know, when I listen to it now, I'm like, God, we had no idea what we were doing, but it was fun. It was fun.
But it laid the groundwork, right?
That was kind of it. Yeah. Cause then we moved on to other topics. We went into gnomes and aliens and hauntings and a bunch of other stuff, but I kept just like looking into this Dogman stuff on the side. And then I find out that we have historical accounts in Texas, folk tales, three or four fairly significant ones, all kind of here in the central area. And then you could do more digging around online. There are more modern encounters on the NADP website and other websites like Texas Cryptid Hunter and True Horror Stories of Texas. There are comment threads on Reddit. There are comment threads on Facebook. Jesse and Joe Doyle of Hellbent Holler are getting emails from people saying they've seen these things in Texas. And they put me in
touch. Shout out to them.
Yeah. Shout out to those guys. Follow them. Check out everything.
Yeah, Hellbent Holler. Love you guys.
Yeah. And they put me in touch with a couple of people who have seen these things, you know, in Texas. And I think all in all, I ended up with 27, 23 cases, something like that. It's been a while since I've gone through the whole list, but it ended up being a fairly thick concentration of cases all in the central Texas area. And that makes up this giant triangle that spans from Dallas to Houston to San Antonio. That became the impetus of the book, which became kind of the impetus of the film Dogman Triangle, Werewolves in the Lone Star State.
Link in the show notes.
Yeah, that was Shannon LeGros came along for that. That was
I'm still going to try to drag both of you on for a commentary at one point or another.
I mentioned to her, she's down, to do that. We're just both busy.
Oh no, you guys got a lot going on. But yeah, no, like XV Planets movie nights kick off beginning in June of this year, so you just got to let me know when you guys are down, and that slot is yours, my friend.
I'll text her about it again. Every time we talk about it, we're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And then
I think it would be a great companion to what's coming up next. So before we get into that, again, let's backtrack and talk about the build up to where we are now. So you had the first book, which was Dogman in the Lone Star State, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the second book, sorry, I always screw that title up. I really do.
It's a longer title. Yeah. And I don't know what mood I was in that day, because usually I go for short titles on stuff.
No, it's perfect for a book. It's perfect for a book. You're fine. Please don't second question it at all. But the documentary was, you know, Dogman in the Lone Star State, right?
Mm-hmm. Or the
Texas Dogman Triangle. That's right. Yeah,
the
yeah.
Dogman Triangle, Werewolves in the Lone Star State. And Seth does the titles for STM's movies. Perhaps with some rare exception, I don't have a list in front of me, but he came up with the title for that. And I love that he did that. I love that he did that because he
put a total throwback to the Hey Strangeness thing, right?
Yeah. Well, the reason though is that he put Dogman and Werewolf in the title. And just doing that, I've seen so many comments from people debating the difference between werewolves and Dogman that actually fed into research for the second book.
And I would totally debate on that too, and that's why I'm so freaking excited. I've already like, I've got my money set aside. I am literally just waiting for it to go live.
I appreciate that,
man. I need more of you in my house. Between you and Richard Haddam, I'm gonna go broke this year just buying books.
I appreciate that.
No, this is it's really interesting to see this growth with you, because, like, you know, again, Hey Strangeness started, so yeah, you touched on this subject and you did this whole thing. You come in a small town, Small Town Monsters, and you do this first book, you do the documentary, and now here you are with a follow-up. And that's really the main conversation that I want to have tonight. And without giving too much away, I would like to talk a little bit about what to expect from this new installment, because your research has gone further. You've gone further into the, I guess we can't say a rabbit hole, into the dogman hole.
The wolf's hole.
The wolf. You know what? I'll just bleep all of this out and I'll put something really clever in right here.
Ghostly, ghastly, musky. Be sure to go to xvplanets.com to pre-order the newest scent, Dogman Starfish, only from XV Planets.
And there it is.
That's where it is.
But what was the evolution for you?
Yeah, so I finished the first book, and as I know you understand, you know, the first project has been started before you're halfway done with the second one. So wait, that didn't make sense.
No, it does for me.
We'll try this again. You start the second project before you're halfway through the first one. Like, I think it's just a thing that, you know, creative people do.
Yeah, half of season 5 of XV Planets is already planned.
So, yeah, yes, like you're always thinking, what am I going to do next? This is so much fun. I'm having so much fun. What am I going to do?
How do I keep up?
You know, yeah, you're like, and so I was already making notes about, okay, how would I like to further examine this? Like, what did I run into in Texas that I didn't have time to explore further? Because I approached it very much from a cryptozoological standpoint in the Dogman Triangle. Like, I was kind of looking at the whole thing through the lens of, I think this is an unidentified species. I think I actually say that in the opening of the first book, something like, I'm convinced there's unclassified canine species.
In so many words, it's a little bit more colorful, but yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I still believe that. I stand by that. One, because of just the nature of the reports that we see. And two, because there's precedent for it in Texas, these new canine species popping up, a la Texas Chupacabra, AKA the Texas Terror Dog. We know that that's a thing that happens in the zoological kingdom. And we know it's a thing that happens in Texas. You know, there are a couple other examples that I ran into while researching this book. So there's plenty of precedent for previously unclassified canine hybrids popping up in Texas. And I think that's what some of these are. What we didn't see as many of in Texas, and this is, you know, just in general, was the more supernatural, spiritual aspect. Until I actually went out on the film shoot with Small Town Monsters, went to Sam Houston National Forest and a couple other places, talked to some people in person, and then did start getting more of these supernatural kind of encounters. So
you firsthand started to have some supernatural encounters.
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable talking about some of those?
Yeah. Yeah. No, not me personally, but talking to people who had had them. Sorry. I haven't had any personal encounters with
okay.
those things.
All right, all right.
You know, and if I do,
so some of the people you interviewed had firsthand accounts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was kind the book had been written at that point. Like, Heather and I were working on final edits and figuring out how a publishing company was going to run. I don't run the publishing company. Heather does, you know, pretty much all of that. The whole team supports her and helps out, but she is the master editor. She just does that stuff. What was I going to say? Oh, so as I'm closing out, I guess, everything on the Dogman Triangle. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish what I was saying. So some of that made it into the book, but it was kind of too late to explore it as fully as I wanted to, the spectral, supernatural side of things. So going into the second book, I knew whatever it was, I really wanted to explore that aspect of it. And then when Heather and Seth and everybody, we all started talking and it came up that, hey, we're going to look more into the Land Between the Lakes next year. That's the place we want to research. Do you want to write a book about it? I was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And it became not just researching Dogman, but also researching the Land Between the Lakes and all of the strange phenomena connected with that place. And that takes you very deeply into some somewhat dark aspects of U.S. history. So then I'm spending a lot of time just reading historical articles and what was going on in America when the Land Between the Lakes was established. And it very quickly became this very convoluted and confusing kind of mixed bag of all this different stuff, which I don't mean to like tease the ending here, but you know, I'm trying to be as concise as possible.
Oh, no. Like, but hold back anything you need to, because I like the purpose of this. I want all of you jackasses listening to buy this book. Like, that is the purpose of this.
I just need to say, I'm not trying to hint at something to build up suspense, but essentially you have the Land Between the Lakes, which is this national recreation area. And
you found something.
I realized I didn't even explain what that was. I didn't know. I'm not hiding some grand revelation or something like that. But it's this area that has a lot of deep history, has a lot of paranormal phenomena associated with it. The Dogman phenomena is extremely prevalent. And the most talked about story is this story of the Land Between the Lakes massacre that's supposed to have taken place in the early 1980s, wherein four people are alleged to have lost their lives in the wake of a Dogman attack. So it was investigating all of that stuff, the cryptozoological element of Dogman, which I still think is there, the correlating paranormal phenomena in and around the Land Between the Lakes, you know, the history of that place, how it was set up to be what it is today and what it was before that, the more spectral spiritual element of the Dogman phenomena, which became much more prevalent the more I looked into it here in this area. It became a lot of things all at once. And that's what's going on. So it's difficult to speak on it with brevity because.
And I don't know if I'm going to even share this on the final clip. Maybe we'll just save this for you and me. But I feel the exact same way about you, Into Basin.
Yes. Yeah, just based on the little bit that I know.
Yeah,
which is not enough. But
no, but all right. So backtracking a little bit. So we're essentially looking at companion pieces. You have one. Your first book was very focused on like the flesh and blood interpretation of Dogman and its interactions with some smaller communities, which are some really good stories in that book. Guys, I got to tell you, you really got to pick it up. Just do it. But now we're leading in a new territory where you're starting to tap into the weirder fringe concept of these things that you didn't necessarily, like maybe you hinted at a little bit in passing in the previous book, but now you're digging into this a little bit further in this installment. Is that, am I getting that right?
It was a specific point of interest. It was something I did spend significant time looking at, not just like, oh, yeah, this story is a little bit weirder than this one. Huh. Okay, moving on, which was, I think, kind of my approach to it in the first book, because I wasn't as inclined towards the more supernatural aspect of it.
No, not those. The ones that are like, oh whoa, that's, now that is weird.
Yeah, you start to run into more of those as you go. At least that was my experience. And the Land Between the Lakes seems to be a more centralized area for that kind of an encounter. It may just be that we have better documentation. We've had more witnesses who are willing to come forward. But I don't know.
So just a brief geographical overlay of the area that we're talking about, but because that's the thing, is that this new book takes a specific look into a very direct area of American landscape. So mm-hmm. let's actually talk about that setup, like where it is geographically and why it is considered to be so poignant for the paranormal.
Yeah. So the Land Between the Lakes is the largest inland peninsula in the United States. It is a man-made peninsula. In 1963, John F. Kennedy signed a bill that did different things, but amongst them was to convert this area into a national recreation area. And it sits right on the Tennessee-Kentucky border. Parts of it are in Tennessee, parts of it are in Kentucky. That all sounds fine and is great, except for the fact that as many as 2,000 families lived there. These were essentially, you know, ancestral lands. These were people that were descended from settlers a la the 16, 1700s. Like, they had been there for a long time. And the government essentially came in and said, you have to leave. We're turning this into a national recreation area. Eminent domain was invoked, and these two rivers, used to be the Land Between the Rivers, were dammed, and they flooded this whole area, creating this peninsula. So then you have Kentucky Lake and Lake Barkley, which did not used to be lakes. They used to be rivers. So that's a bummer. That's a pretty sad story if you look at it from the perspective of these people that lived there. But one thing you have in small, tight-knit communities are cemeteries. There are a lot of cemeteries in this area. Many of those are now underwater. So that leads to conjecture and talk and stories of hauntings and restless ghosts and stuff like that. Inevitably, of course it would, naturally. A lot of ghost stories out of the Land Between the Lakes. There's also a high concentration of Bigfoot activity. Every single dogman witness I talked to when I was there mentioned knowing about a Bigfoot story or also having one of their own in every single case. You know, it's just something that's known. Yeah, Bigfoot's up there, at least amongst the people that I had the opportunity to speak with.
So I've got a curveball question for you, if you don't mind me throwing one to you.
No, hit me.
Have you ever come across anybody that you've interviewed or you know, like anybody who's shared their experience that have seen both a Sasquatch and a dogman and have been able to say, oh no, those are completely different?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And one of those encounters is
detailed. Which I know about this, but now I get to bring it up.
Yeah, one of those encounters is detailed in the book. And that person's encounter has been discussed elsewhere publicly, but I did have the opportunity to kind of re-interview them about it. And then we actually went to the location where that sighting occurred, which was an incredibly powerful and surreal moment that I'm still unpacking. And that was actually part of the fun of writing this book. I got a little more personal with it. I guess I kicked back a little bit more. There are some segments that are they're noted as travel logs. They're just segments about what it was like, what we saw, what it felt like, who we talked to when we actually went to the Land Between the Lakes. So talking about that, that's not a spoiler. No, that's not a spoiler. Is it?
No. I don't think it is. But no, here's okay, a spoiler yeah. for I'm something trying, like no, 5 years from now. Yeah. I want you to know that Sonny, part of my crew, who is also from Louisiana, and I, we're taking you down to the swamps, brother.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. And that was another thing that was kind of a fun return to form, because Hey Strangeness started in part as like a travel blog. Like, Sarah and I would go to these different places and I would write about it and we'd post pictures. And
so God, that's right. The first 5 episodes were just kind of like, they were travel blogs with like a hint of twinge, but then you guys just went to like hard right. Let's get weird with it. And you know what? We
went way off the rails. Yeah.
No. You were on the rails you were supposed to be on, brother. I really mean that. I do.
I appreciate it.
You were exactly where you're supposed to be.
But, you know, I experimented with the format a little more in this one. And it's not just me, you know, pontificating the whole time. But I thought, you know, I'm having this experience where we're producing this film while I'm finishing this book, doing all this actual research on the ground. Like, let's take people along on this journey. Like, let's share some of this stuff that may not make it into the film. And that was something I just really enjoyed doing, was getting to talk about what the actual place is like. Because I think that's important when you're looking at a place regionally as a constant, an area where strange phenomena is concentrated. That was a mess grammatically. Oh my God.
No. But no. You know, please feel free to rephrase it. But I think we all understood it.
Right. I think it's important to know about a place if you're trying to understand what's happening in that place. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I understand the land between the lakes now. I don't. It's one of the strangest places I've ever been in my entire life.
That's like me saying that I fucking understand Waverly Hills. Fuck no, right? I don't. Yeah. But I've been there and I have experienced it. And yeah. I want to go back and I want to understand it more. And I correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's kind of what you're getting at. Like, you've had the opportunity to touch these things, but just like me, like, I'm driven to find out more. I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And if you're hearing these encounters and these stories, you know, these reports, whatever you want to call them, I don't mean to use the word stories flippantly, but if you're hearing about these events that are happening.
Yeah, we all understand. You know? Yeah.
Sorry. If you're hearing about these events and you actually look at the place where it happened, what I've found is that pieces start to click into place. All of a sudden, this makes a lot more sense, like the description that you're giving me of what happened and what you saw. And I think we can all think of an equivocation in our life, you know, like if someone you care about gets into a car accident and they tell you, oh, man, I got into an accident. It's awful. You don't really have a clear picture of what the car looks like till you see it. You know, it's kind of a surreal thing when you actually see a car that's been hit, but you don't really have that picture in your mind. I know what woods look like. I know what creek beds look like. But actually going to this place and standing in this spot where someone says, I saw what looked like a werewolf, it's a whole nother level. At least it was for me. So.
No, I get that. No, I really do get that. You know, most of my like field research in the paranormal has all been focused over on the East Coast. But I was lucky enough, like over the course of the last year, I spent a lot of time down in the South and actually near my hometown. And I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I don't know. So here's where we get to go all woo-woo. I don't know. I think as soon as you crack your head open to a lot of this stuff, then the opportunity for you being able to understand or see it in even the periphery of your vision or the periphery of your reality, whatever. You know me. I'm more of a fan of Valet than Kiel and Kiel than anybody else. So
no, I'm here for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Eighth Tower. Not saying I necessarily
it's sitting right down there right now.
You know, right?
You are.
I mean, I'm going to repeat what you. Is not a hot take because oh, same, bro. This isn't a hot take. I know people say this all the time. I'm not necessarily going to say, yeah, John Keel had everything figured out. But if we're talking about the broad spectrum of the strange, you know, that is a very good place to start getting ideas and thinking about like, oh, wow, why these things happen now? Sometimes why that, you know, John Keel asked a lot of questions and that's why his work is so much fun to read.
And seriously, I cannot think of a better time for me to bring up what we talked about earlier. Rich Haddam, if you're out there listening, we have this great idea for an animated series, Jacques and Jean, Valet and Keel. It's the Odd Couple of Paranormal Activity. It would make Rick and Morty look like shit. Just saying. And the moment is gone, and I'll just leave it at that.
I'm on board. I'm just saying.
Holy shit, I better trademark that shit right now.
Get on it, man.
God damn. All right. Well, look, Aaron, thank you so much for hanging out tonight. I honestly, I really want to go further into this right now, but I don't want to fuck up the surprises that we're going to get for the new book. So Hunting Grounds, like if you go into the Instagram stories as you're listening to this, you're going to see a link for it. You'll see the link to the pre-order site. Do not forget to follow Aaron on House of Monsters, which is now the Small Town Monsters official fucking podcast, which is fucking awesome.
It is. Yeah.
It's great. Holy shit, dude. And you dirty guys, y'all were teasing this shit like 6 months ago. Now, finally, it drops in my lap, and I'm very, very happy with it, if I can say so myself.
We came up with the idea, and it was approved, and it was like, yeah, great, start working on it. And then, like, One fun thing about, you know, being behind the scenes at Small Town Monsters is that things are just happening all the time. You know,
they but keep you, busy. No shit.
You often have to stop and reorient and go, okay, let's push this back a little bit because we've got this thing coming up and this is really exciting. So, you know, which is just kind of the nature of making stuff. Sometimes you adapt, but, you know,
that's part of a podcast network. Yeah, man, you got to work together. It's a lot of
how it is. Yeah. Everybody works really hard over there. Everybody supports each other. And, but because so many things were happening at that time, it was like, let's just let this chill for a sec. It'll be ready when it's ready. And that was great because it gave me more time to work on it and add things in. And actually, sorry, I know we're wrapping up, but actually the day, 2 days before the first episode aired, I was adding things in because there had been more news in the world of the Loch Ness Monster. So, you know,
always will be.
Been fun. Always.
Just gives you an opportunity to do like a side stories bit. You can just pop in every couple of weeks and be like, here's some updates.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And Seth is really cool about just letting
I can also dress as a clown and do those for you, by the way.
Oh, that would be fantastic. That's what I was going to say. Seth has pretty much said, like, yeah, just do the show, man. Looks like you just do the show, and nobody's looking over my shoulder going, take that part out. So, you know, if a clown pops in now and then.
Well, Aaron, seriously, and I don't mind sharing this with the whole world, it genuinely makes me happy that you found your place. Like,
oh, same, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely.
To you, same to you. Thank you.
And to finally get to meet you at Monster Fest face to face last year and see how well you're doing. This is a blast. I can't wait to see what else you come up with. So, yet again, Hunting Grounds, Dogmen of the Lakes is available for pre-order starting April 9th. The links are in the show notes. Please definitely check that out. And please go check out Aaron's previous works. Definitely check out everything from Small Town Monsters. Links for everything will be in the show notes, including Texas Dogman Triangle. Yeah, I'm totally kidnapping you for a commentary that night. Shannon, like, I'll send the Predators after if I have to.
I think the key is to pick a date that's really far out so nobody has anything on the calendar yet. And that way, when it arrives, everybody's like, oh man, we got to do this thing tonight. That's how it always goes for me.
Could be a fun on for Monster Fest too. Just saying.
Ooh, that could be neat.
Just throwing it out there. Anyway,
a bunch of ideas to pitch.
My friend Aaron, I fucking love you to pieces, man. It's been a blast knowing you and seeing your evolution over the last few years. So thank you again, as always, for popping in and telling us about what's going on in your world. Other than what I've mentioned, is there anything else that we need to let our audience know about what they need to follow and what they need to keep an eye on?
I think that's everything. I do have the fun and ongoing opportunity to run the weekly Small Town Monsters live stream. That's Wednesday nights on Facebook and YouTube at 9 p.m. Eastern. So you can come hang out, ask live questions. We always have a guest from whatever film we're discussing that week. So it's a great way to kind of see a little more behind the scenes and just hang out with other members of the community. So you covered everything else. Hey Strangeness is still a thing. It just kind of hangs out. The Instagram is still sort of active, so you can come hang out with us over there, but no immediate plans for episodes right now. It's just chilling. Yeah,
brother, I got it. I actually do have a whole other podcast that nobody knows about.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I just do that for fun. Nobody knows I'm attached to it, not even my closest friends. I just do it for fun. So
challenge accepted.
Nobody's getting that number out of me. Anyway, love you to pieces, brother. This has been a blast as always, and this is now your second time on XV Planets, just in season 4. So now we got to drag your ass back on for a third one towards the end of season 4. Yeah,
hit me up, man. Hit me up.
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to drag your ass on there for Monster Fest live coverage, because we will be broadcasting, whether or not they signed us up as a live podcast. We're going to be broadcasting the entire time for Monster Fest 2. So definitely come on over and say hello. Love you to pieces, brother. And again, check everything out on the show notes. And Aaron, again, thank you so much for coming out and filling us in on the Dogman, because this, I think we all know this is just only the tip of the iceberg.
We're just getting started. Yeah, it's a fun journey. But no, thank you, man. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Many thanks to our brother Aaron Deese for stopping by to give us a rundown of his upcoming book, Dogman Hunting Grounds, available now for pre-order, and the links for all things related to Aaron Deese, his books, and his work with Small Town Monsters, House of Monsters, and Hey Strangeness are available in these very show notes with links set up for your convenience. Join us again next week for the final installment of our Uinta Basin series, where we'll talk about the last evening, the shift in activity that occurred, the aftermath of it all, and how this experience has helped to refine my overall paranormal hypothesis. And I must say, this trip in particular has helped alter the aperture of how I see all of this. In the meantime, if you're craving more XV Planets, consider donating to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/XVPlanets, where you'll gain access to our exclusive content. There's a whole other separate series on there, as well as extended interviews, exclusive episodes with special guests, and much more. A sincere thank you to all subscribers who support the show and donate to the Patreon. You're awesome, and I can't express just how much every little bit helps to make the show happen a little bit easier. Don't forget to follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, No, I Am Not Calling It X, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, everywhere as XV Planets, and you can follow my personal misadventures and music projects at Folds and Floods on those same platforms. Links for both are in the show notes as usual. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can email me at xvplanets@gmail.com, or you can leave me a voicemail at 770-410-8385. If you like what we do here, head on over to iTunes or Spotify to rate and especially review us. And tell your friends about us. Tell your families about us. Hell, yell at random people in election lines about us. We are a DIY independent production, and the only way that we will grow is by you sharing us with others who might enjoy taking this trip down many rabbit hole with us. And friends, I don't ask much from my audience at all, but if you really do like what we do here, please, please, share new episode posts with friends who will enjoy it. Spread the strange, please. Turn others on to us. It's really the only way we're going to be able to grow for a while. Be sure to check out all of the great shows on the Green Mushroom Podcast Network, like Lux Occult, Unearthing Paranormalcy, and more. You can check them out by going to www.greenmushroomproject.com and add that to your bookmarks to keep up with the network in the future. If you're a fan of this show, you'll likely be fond of many of the series that you'll find there, as well as some pretty epic crossovers of XV Planets with other podcasts. The show is produced in the Black Lodge, wherever that resides in this current moment of time and space, and it's written, edited, and scored by yours truly. Music from the show can be found on my Bandcamp page for Folds and Floods, or anywhere you stream your music. No part of this show or its music may be reproduced without consent. Copyright Folds and Floods Productions. Once again, I'm your host, Flood, and this has been XV Planets. Thank you for being a part of the journey so far, and I'll see you in the between. In Abumbratio, in Fluctus, Sub Velo.